Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening. All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the China Shop, home of the Band of Traders podcast. I'm your host, Kyle, and today we have a new Humanity of Trading episode planned, which means we got Cleo here to handle co-hosting duties. And our guest is a special one. George Papazov, founder of TradePro Academy, is back. George, wow. you weren't our first guest ever on the podcast way back in the Two Bulls days when it started, but I think you might have been our first like real trader that we talked to.
Top 10? Like the first 10? Episodes or no?
It was probably one of the first. It's probably within like the first 3 months after we started it, I want to say. Like it was, you found us pretty early. Yeah,
man, I'm super happy to hear that because it's always fun chatting with you guys. And you know, thank you for calling me special. Only my mom really believes that.
But well, I'm excited because there was a ton of advice you gave us in those first times we've ever talked to you that I just didn't understand like what any of it meant. To even like ask questions about it, like let alone like how, like what it means to actually go through any of that stuff. So like this is exciting for me too, to get a chance to pick your brain and maybe actually understand some of the things that we're talking about today.
Amazing. Yeah. So
I'll just jump in. I want to say me too, because I've been telling Kyle, yeah, since the beginning of this Humanity of Trading series, like, can we get George? Like, I want to talk to George, because honestly, you've been, I think, the most influential person for me in my trading. A few years ago when I first started, there's like a, I hadn't ever heard anybody talking about the psychology of trading and like unconscious parts and conscious parts and what, who's leading and just, yeah. And you, I've been a bit of a fangirl of you as a podcaster, I just got to say, and as a trader. And so I'm just like thrilled to get to talk to you today.
That's so awesome. Thank you. Those are very kind words. And you did all the hard work, Cleo. You know? You deserve
what, getting you on the podcast?
just in general, sure, you know? Of all your success and the more success to come.
So, George, before we dive into some of the stuff that we're planning on talking about, do you have anything going on that you want to share? Anything you want to promote, plug, update?
I'd like to promote this podcast. You know, like, I want to commend you guys for, you've been going at it a while now, Kyle. You know, like, you're kind of a certified OG. And the cool thing about what you're doing, Kyle, is you don't come on here and pretend to know everything, you know?
I don't pretend to know anything.
You come in here, yeah, you're growing along with your own journey and sharing it. And I wish more people were, like, that forthcoming about it, right?
So
we need to get a couple more.
And vulnerable and open and honest.
Exactly. It's 2024, and vulnerability is how people learn, right? And so I'm super proud of you guys and the podcast, and super happy to what you've created it. And you
we need to encourage somebody new to start one and start out, because I can't go back and learn again, right? Like, that doesn't quite work out the same. Like, we need somebody to go start from the beginning that we can go follow, because I want to hear somebody go through that, you know, 3-year journey.
So you're saying you've learned it all, Kyle?
No, I'm saying I can't go backwards ever. They can only go forward. And that's one thing that's hard to do sometimes, is to come up with content that appeals to, you know, people of all different levels of experience.
I mean, also, you sound, in some of these conversations, like even recently, Kyle, you sound so pro. I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about in these like macro assessments or whatever. I'm like,
most of the time, I don't either.
This is a different Kyle.
See, that's what I'm afraid of, Kyle. I almost declined this podcast. I'll tell you why. For one reason. I'm like, it's been so long for me trading-wise, and Kyle's been at it this whole time. I don't want to get ridiculed here, you know? So
that never happens on this program.
You sure?
It's all love on this show. So where do we want to kick this thing off then, Cleo? I'm going to just give it over to you.
Great. So first, like, since the start of Humanity of Trading, I wanted to talk to you, George. And then I heard your most recent podcast episode about how you were stepping away from podcasting again. And I think trading also. And I was so bummed a little bit, but then also just intrigued. And so then I wanted to talk to you, but I was like, oh, he's not going to want to talk to us. And then somehow one day, a couple weeks ago, Kyle gives us an intro and I was like, yeah, let's talk about that transition. But then I saw on Twitter, you just gave this one liner that you're back. I'm like, what does that mean? So maybe let's start there. What do you mean?
What's the, who's the guy who retired, kept coming back all the time over and over and over again?
Michael Jordan.
Is that what we're doing here? Are you the Jordan of trading?
Well, you know, like the way it kind of has been so far, it seems very mysterious and strategic, but it's not strategic. That's the crazy part. Okay, so here's what happened. Like, I basically am coming back to trading. I've missed it a lot. I am coming back to Trade Pro Academy. I don't think in the same role as before. You know, I think it's a good thing. The way I feel about it is there's no space for me to come back the way I was before. And that's a good thing, because we've had a lot of traders like Victorio and Fady, you know, really step it up and take over.
And they've really found their footing too. Like, it's kind of not fair to take that away from them. Yeah,
like, I wouldn't even want to. I mean, it would be fun to kind of just yank it, but I'm coming back. I'm the star of the show. But they work so hard, and honestly, it's great to see something that you start kind of evolve to the point, to the point where there's no space for you anymore. And I knew that when I left to pursue this other, you know, midlife crisis journey that we can talk about, I knew that was the danger of it, right? It was a risk. And you know, my trading has changed. It's evolved a lot as well, like through this side career. And like, life has taken twists and turns. But yeah, I'm coming back in a sense of being more active with trading as a whole. I probably won't be day trading, but trying to just carve out a spot for me again within the Trade Pro fabric.
So what do you envision that looking like then, if it's not going to be on a day trading basis?
Why not day trading too? What's the deal?
Yeah. So, okay. So when I started day trading, like, you know, I started day trading through kind of a passion my dad lit inside of me. He said, I asked him for allowance money. My parents immigrated to Canada from Bulgaria, Eastern Europe, and they had a lot of hope and ambition, but not a lot of money. You know, it's kind of some nights weren't the greatest. And so my dad said, I could give you money, what little I have for allowance. I could teach you how to trade. That was in 2001. So it's been a long time. since that, you know, and that sparked my trading ambition. And because I didn't have capital, I had to day trade, right? It's like a lot of times when we start out with our journey, I started day trading and I said, I'm going to be a day trader. And it's good, but it's an everyday type of job. And honestly, I even said to myself, I'm never going to be an investor. It just became like a personal thing.
Everybody and now, turns into one eventually, right?
Yeah, because everyone thinks Warren Buffett. I'm like, I don't want to be old. And but I was so like,
that's the objective.
Slow is boring.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't want to be like boring old investor. And I had, you know, at the end of the day, like TradePro kind of started out of a need for me, to be honest with you. I have the need to be with people, to talk with people, and trading can be lonely.
Yeah,
for sure.
You know, so we find ways to connect with each other, and that's kind of how TradePro started.
Podcast does it for me.
Yeah, I love the podcast. That was my favorite part. Anywho, but yeah, to answer your question,
touch on that again.
Yeah, to answer your question direct, like I'm kind of at a place where I have made good investments. So one of the things I always talked about at TradePro is, you know, when you start day trading and hitting certain capital thresholds, don't think that because you're having 50, 100K months now, that's something you continue to do forever. Start to think about positioning that into an investment as well, right? Mm-hmm. The reason being is, you know, for me, day trading became kind of stressful. And when I had kids, it was really hard. None of my kids went to daycare. They're always home. And like one thing that was important for me was to be a good father. I always said, like, when I become a father, I'm going to be the best father there is. I don't know what the scorecard is. We'd have to ask my kids, but
if you're trying, you're doing better than most.
Thank you, man. I mean, it's a sad low barrier, right? But it's yeah. It's 2024. I'm trying.
It's all you can control, though. All you can control is the effort you put into it. And like, exactly. You're going to make mistakes as a parent. All parents do. There's going to be something that you do that fucks them up and that they have to deal with. You're just trying to make that as minimal as possible.
And you can support their therapy fund.
Yeah,
exactly.
Can we go back real quick before just something you said on your dad teaching you to trade? You said he was a day trader.
Yeah,
was he not good at it?
Like, he was good, but he was very emotional. Like,
gotcha.
You know, my dad trades to this day, but he started trading currencies because in 2001 futures. This is wild to say, but the E-mini had just come out like a year or two after 2001.
Yeah.
So like in those days, if you wanted to trade, first of all, you were like a psycho for even wanting to do that. And then second, there weren't very many products, right? Like the GBP USD pair was called the cable because you actually had to run a physical cable to trade it not too many years before that. So when I started, there was only Forex. And my dad was like super emotional with it because he was trading money he didn't really have, you know, it's kind of survival money. And from my dad, I love him to death and hopefully he never hears this, but I learned how to trade from seeing what not to do. He taught me what not to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Has he gotten better as time's gone on?
He has. He's kind of chilled out a little bit more. I guess when I left his home, there was no more need to support.
Yeah. Probably less capital demands. Yeah. He's sizing down sometimes as a way to
come to think about it. It was my fault.
Your very existence.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, that's a realization. There's first of many for the podcast.
I know, right? I do remember too when you had your was it the second kid, I think, was before you ended up stepping down for like the long stretch. There was a period there where you completely reworked everything. Like you had gone from like scalping like intraday rotations to what you called it your stress-free trading. And yeah. I felt like you never really got a chance to lean in and explore that.
I did it. I really did it. And I wish I did. And so coming back now, I'm kind of thinking about that, right? How do I...
The stress-free trading? Yeah. That sounds amazing. Right?
Yeah.
Let's do that.
I like it. And as soon as I've managed to figure out that system, I will share it on an upcoming episode. I can't say I have it yet. But yeah, my two kids came out like really fast, one after another. I mean, it's not a surprise, obviously. And you know, it's not a mystery. They're a year and a half apart in age. And so when the first my first son was born, Isaiah, I kind of started to like rework my schedule. And obviously it took some time away from trading, but I was able to kind of stay somewhat focused. And then, you know, we were home. It was during COVID. Then we had the second kid and then all daycares were closed. And then I lost all ability to maintain a reliable, independent schedule.
Yeah.
And then also, like, I think one part people don't talk about as being parents is, now that you have this human you have to support, your risk perception changes so much. And there's actually science that shows your amygdala, your risk and fear.
Fear center? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It actually expands after becoming a parent, more for the mother than the father. But yeah, it really depends on how involved you are with your children in those early days, right? And I was with them the whole time. So
if you want to be a good trader and a parent, you're going to have to choose trading over the kids.
Run from your family. Don't.
No, okay, that's not the lesson.
No, never. You have to figure out how to adapt. And that's why I tell people for day trading, it's like if you're having these big months, think about it before the month before your son is born, because I didn't, you know, I kind of just thought I'd figure it out. I'm kind of on the fly guy. And this is what I've learned from being a trader, is always just be on the fly and be responsive to information. So I don't really plan ahead, mm-hmm. you know, because I've been trained to believe that you can't.
But that's a good piece of wisdom that, I mean, once you have kids, everything changes, right? And including your amygdala size.
Exactly. Your amygdala size. And yeah, then you're kind of now redigging up morals of what do I want to pass down to these children? You're becoming so hyper aware of yourself. And at the same time, you have another person to take care of while you're becoming hyper aware of yourself. And you're doing all that on 2 hours of sleep. So,
right.
Yeah, it's bound to be a train wreck at some point if you don't kind of think about it beforehand.
I mean, yeah.
I got through that train wreck, but it hit me head on. And I was like, wow, I have to adjust. And, you know, at the beginning, Trade Pro, at the time when I had my first son, and I'm not blaming any of this on my children, I love them, but when it happened, my lack of preparation, it hit at a time when Trade Pro was doing its absolute best. Mm-hmm. And I had just promised people, I'm like, I'm always going to be there for you. And I don't know, hopefully people at Trade Pro see this and you guys believe me when I tell you this. I actually cared about them. I was like, I already had children. That's why I was like, I'll be a good dad, you know, but I really, really cared. As soon as the webinar was over, until I went to bed, all I thought about was, how do we make this place better? How do we make people succeed? I went through the ups and downs with their community. And so then having to step away was kind of from that was extra sort of, you know, emotion I had to cope with at the time.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
There's something else you said in there, that you were trained to believe you can't plan ahead. I'm curious if you still feel that way or how that message got ingrained into you.
You know, I was tired of having a trading plan and it not working, you know, uh-huh. Over the years.
None of us can relate to that.
Exactly. I'm not relatable anymore, guys. But yeah, that's I tried so many different ways. The only reason I ever succeeded in trading is because I'm so freaking stubborn. Honestly, I think 90% of people in my shoes, if they lived through this journey, would have quit, because there were so many opportunities and signs that I should quit, but I ignored it all. And my problem isn't really creating plans. I love creating plans. They're fun, right? That's the fun part. It's kind of executing them.
Right. Just the execution part.
Yeah.
Just the small, actual trading part, exactly, is the problem.
Yeah. Right. And so, small challenge, right? But then for me, that's how I got into being a scalper. I don't recommend anybody scalps. You know what I mean? It's good to start out. For sure. There's always those memes where you're like, here's Gary. He's a scalper. He's 20 years old. And it's a 70-year-old guy in front of his computer. There's a reason chain for those smoking memes. Yeah, chain smoking, empty Coke cans in his bedroom. It's tough. It's a hard thing. But also at the same time, when I started trading, really, the first time I really tasted success was in the mid-2000s. I spent 4 years of my journey before seeing any success. And then Forex, I started winning and making some trades that I would call success, putting together a track record. But at the time, the tools were so primitive. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? I didn't have order flow. I didn't have a DOM. All that stuff was invented after I started trading. So it's how do you find certainty in a field that just started in itself? It was right. Sort of weird. So I kind of had to rely on myself to be that indicator. So a lot of this intuitive trading, scalping, you know, I do have filters in my head. I have rules. But in terms of following a plan, I guess that's where I was conditioned that, you know, I'm going to just go on the fly and make a plan.
I tried the creating the daily plan route, and that just doesn't work for me either. But I think that kind of just speaks to, you have to find your own way, right? There's ways that people do it, and there's a lot of people who find success using the plans. I find better success when I have better when I'm better in tune with what's going on up here in my head. If I can recognize the thoughts and where they're coming from, the emotions.
Right, totally.
And not act mindset. On them.
See, that's a crazy discussion. This is a whole episode here too, because you know, people that create these plans and they're so concrete on them and so certain and rely on them with their capital, like, what do you need to create a plan? You need information, you need a framework to make decisions. So if I don't have the exact context and the information of the day, how can I create a plan beforehand, right? It's like, and every single day is different. So what, I got to have 5 million plans? Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't have a plan. And I guess I don't want anyone to believe out there I did it without a plan. I had a framework. I had a guide. I had very strict risk management parameters. But my plan was to see the day's information first and then structure a plan. So I had a plan to change it every day, but it changed based on market condition, not based on how much money I wanted to make.
Right.
And that's, I think that's the way you kind of have to tune things down. Like, the more detailed you try to make your plan before the day even starts, the more chances it's going to go wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you know what happens? If it does go right, it's almost worse.
I know.
You know what I mean? It's like,
then you start to believe the plan can't fail.
Yeah. You get this thing called confidence, and you start looking at your lot size. You're like, you know what? This is the time to listen to Tony Robbins and step into this. And you get humbled real quick.
Wah, wah. Yeah.
The plan worked yesterday. It's got to work today. I'll just try again.
Yeah, it was me.
And again.
You'll find the excuse. You'll find something that resonates with you that day, you know? But
it all comes back to, like, the person upstairs, like, who's in charge in that moment. And Cleo, you kind of referenced that. I didn't realize that George was involved in that kind of parts work stuff back of the day.
Well, I don't think you've ever talked about parts work necessarily. Correct me if I'm wrong there, George, but you definitely talked about unconscious mind or maybe an unconscious part, right, that's making the decisions. And if you don't, like, integrate or know yourself, know that part of yourself that's actually calling the shots, then you're going to have a hell of a time trading, or a really hard time.
For sure. Like, you want to hear something really funny that I've never told anyone. It's actually not funny, but it's funny for me. Is like a parts integration. Like, for those that don't know, it's an NLP technique that basically tries to bring wholeness to you based on feeling two different ways and trying to see that those two ways are serving you the same way. So integrate it, right? But a parts integration technique with NLP is what actually spun me off to go into music production and take this detour. So...
Sorry.
Nice.
You said it was going to be funny.
You scared me, yeah. Those people are crazy, because I don't know what they're laughing at. That was not funny.
Okay, parts work integration is what spun you off into music. Say more.
How? So, like, yes, please.
Yeah, so I felt like a part of me, and this is language that when you listen to people talk, you know that a part integration. Yeah, if anyone says part of me is this and part of me is that, like, they've already told you what they need help with. Or if they say things like, feel like sometimes this, but other times that, like, it's a language that suggests that's going to be the most helpful technique for you. And you got to be careful, because when you integrate those parts, like,
you find some scary stuff about yourself too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Can you say more? Like, I think I have a pretty good sense of what you mean by when you integrate those parts, but what do you mean for the people listening to this?
Yeah, of course. So an integration of parts, so I'll explain my two parts. I forgot what the names were, but there's a technique. You say, can this part come out, and what's its name? And then people think that's incredibly corny until a name actually pops up in their head, and like, oh, wow, the unconscious is talking, you know? And then they get scared, and then they get shut off the exercise. But for me, I had two different parts. I forget their names, but one part of me felt like, you know, the trading way and what I'm doing is like helping people, and I really loved it. And it was great. But that same part also felt like, okay, like the money aspect is there. You know, I'd done really well for myself up to that point. I didn't really have to worry about it as much. But then I was like, there was always a love for music. And the way that I left music was kind of tragic, to be honest with you. It wasn't by choice. And so when I looked at those two things, I'm like, okay, I feel like I've gone off and done this trading thing and I've succeeded, but then I realized I haven't really succeeded from my day one purpose and what it was. So then when those two parts came out, I did an integration, and it turns out those parts wanted the same thing, right? At the end of the day, if you do a parts integration with somebody and they tell you to basically, the whole goal of it is to realize that one part of you and the other part of you that are conflicting are actually at a high level working to do the same thing for you. They have the same mission.
Yeah.
Right?
And then it becomes clear what that mission is.
Exactly.
It points you
and
there.
The mission becomes clear. And now it's like, because you've had two parts and now they're working together, it's almost like two people are doing the work. And you could get so much more done because there's no dissonance. There's no, like, there's nothing fighting against each other.
Nice.
And it feels great.
I got to hear more about this integration aspect. I kind of stopped after I identified my two main players, which I have as John Rambo and Carl Sagan. Rambo is the guy who will burn everything to the ground in trying to, you know, accomplish the mission. And then my Carl Sagan's the guy who'll throw dynamite into a lake just to count the fish.
Yeah, see? So there's two parts. Sounds like a wild side. The only reason I laughed, I'm not laughing at your two parts. I'm just laughing
You can laugh. It's funny.
You're naming.
Yes.
Naming.
The names yeah. are good.
Yeah, exactly.
Joel's got the best, though. He's got a Yosemite Sam. So can you give him a gun, point him in the direction, he'll start firing bullets.
See, that's a part of frustration, you know, right? if that's a part of like suppressing something. And I'll be honest with you, I had that too, because I suppressed the music side. I always told myself I'd get back to music as a hobby, but I suppressed it so long that it started to like manifest itself in reality where...
I remember when it was coming up in the streams even, you started to play some tracks and I was like, George is probably going to be pursuing this.
Yeah,
before too
you got
long.
That sense? Yeah.
A little bit. You just got too much joy out of it. Like, it
yeah, was the, man.
There's a point where it just... That was the thing that you could see it like lit your face up to play with it and share it. And...
Wow. So I wasn't hiding it then, hey?
No, you weren't. You never do. We think we do. We never do.
Exactly. Yeah. You think you're hiding it. Everyone else knows. But yeah, like it's always been like it was always a childhood dream. And it's not like one of those things where every child wants to be a firefighter. Like I was really like deeply involved with it before. And then even while doing the trading stuff, I like, here like their downloads, you guys might think you two probably won't, but somebody listening, like I get downloads. I'll wake up one morning and I'll hear a full song in my head, and it's not like they just started happening after the parts integration. It happened the whole time. I was just tuning it out.
You weren't so hearing it. yeah
so
that's so cool.
Yeah, it's like like a complete song with vocals and everything, and then it's a race to try to create it as quickly as possible and stay in that energy. And I kept getting them, but I deflected them. And so it's like when you're receiving these messages and you're deflecting things that are naturally coming to you, that takes energy, yeah. right? So it takes away your energy and then you're left with less to do the other things you're doing. So this is kind of how it came to fruition. I had this parts integration and it was at the point where, you know, this was shortly after I had a $50,000 losing day on NASDAQ, because I kind of, when I sensed that there's two parts, I talked to the universe, God, whatever, you know, whatever your spiritual beliefs are. I respect them all. And I was like, just show me a sign.
Except Scientology.
No, I'm sorry. That's banished. You're a Scientologist.
No offense, Scientologist.
No offense. What do you mean, no offense? That's like the most offensive thing.
I know,
thing,
but I said no offense, so it's cool.
So it doesn't, totally.
That was definitely one of your parts speaking there, Kyle.
Yeah, that's my Sagan.
So yeah, like it's been an interesting journey, but
wait, back to this $50,000 loss in a day.
Yeah.
So is that like you didn't have integration of parts and it's what had you go off on this tear? And also, is that the biggest loss you've ever had in a day?
Yeah, that's the biggest one. Let me think. Like that's the biggest one that I internalized. Like to be honest with you, I'm not sure. I've had a couple like really crappy days. But yeah, that is the highest. It was the highest in terms of emotional cost, too.
Do
you remember one of the times when we talked and you said that you were hope that you'd take bigger losses because that means that you're trading bigger size? Do you still feel that way after sitting through that one?
Honestly. Like, remember, that was the George pre-being a dad. Like,
yeah,
I think,
Mm-hmm.
I think after being a dad, I've kind of found a peace in not being the most prolific trader in of all history. Cause that's what I was going for before. You know what I mean? I was like, why stop if I'm trying to be like, I don't know. I'm trying
Michael
to think
Jordan?
Of an example. Yeah. If I'm trying to be the Michael Jordan of trading, why stop? And then if I'm not going to be the Michael Jordan of trading, why keep going? I'm kind of this like personality that's extreme at times. You know,
if you're going to do it, you have to do it well. Otherwise, why bother?
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know. I used to think it's a good quality trait. Now I kind of think it might be a mental sickness. But either way.
You picked the right field, though, at least.
We've all got a little bit of that.
Exactly.
Everything. But I'm still on to, can we go back to this $50,000 thing? Because you had, it sounds like it was a pre-parts work integration experience that had you lose all that money. Like, can you say more about that?
Yeah, for sure. So the, like, as I started exploring more of the music side, you know, it's kind of like, you know, meeting a partner. You go on a couple of dates and it felt great. But then as I started to get actual feelings for it, for the music side, and it started to kind of bring out a part of me, there it is again, right? A part of me that had suppressed for so long, that part didn't come out nicely knocking on the door. I just slammed through the door and kicked it in and just took over my life. And I started to kind of spend significant energy, and it started to pull up feelings for me in music. And it was the first time I questioned, like, okay, you know, is this the right time to go do this? And I had asked the universe, I'm like, give me a sign, you know, and the one that I wouldn't confuse, that I should maybe put more attention into this and consider it maybe even as a career choice, even if it's part-time alongside trading. And like 3 days later, I got blown out on NASDAQ. So I don't know.
That could be a sign. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if that was the biggest day. Yeah. Ever. Biggest loss ever. Right. And it's one of those losses where I did everything wrong, and it's been so long since I got it that wrong. Like, I'm not perfect. I had wrong stuff. I had bad days, but since I got it that wrong, like, it was a regression of like 10 years. And then I look at it, I'm like, I wonder if I was trading as the person with the experience level at the time I left music. You know, I wonder if it took me that far back. And so I kind of started thinking down that path. And then, like, that's why it was such a large loss to absorb, because I didn't even think it was a loss I was capable of generating. Not the money, just the type
the way
of trading.
It happened.
Yeah. I was like, this, it was kind of dark. I needed to take a break. And I was explaining to people in Trade Pro Academy, because I was just going through it. I wasn't even ready to talk about it yet. And I've never talked about it. This is the first time I ever talked about it with anyone else. And I was like trying to like justify this really crappy day in professional trader talk. I was going through like a crazy time in my head, and like all these things are changing, and you know, so that day was pre-parts integration, and then post-parts integration, I did the strategy, and immediately as soon as it was done, one of the first things I felt like physically is that like stress leave my body of that day, because I did hold on to that stress a lot. It's again, it's not the money. The money is a lot of money to lose in one day. Yeah, that hurts, but financial pain isn't existential pain, you know, unless you make it that.
Yeah.
And so it became that. And the moment I did this parts integration, I was like relieved. I was like, oh. And then it took me a long time to realize I was relieved, because it was kind of leading to me taking a break from it all.
Yeah.
You know, because I never traded as big. Right after that, I had kids. And then I tried to scale back up, never really successfully did. I had my second son, Xavier. Then COVID lockdowns happened. Canada got like crazy about it. like super crazy, you know, which is, you know, we could talk about this, but that's why I'm leaving Canada. I'm actually relocating to Florida in as little as 6 weeks. So
you picked Florida?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Of all the places, you're going to go to Florida.
We'll talk about why. There's a reason for it.
Disneyland?
Alligators?
Yeah. Oh man, I love you guys. You're the perfect people to talk to about this stuff. But yeah, you know, I was like, what country or what state has the most alligators?
Country is better.
And theme park. Yeah, Florida is really its own country.
What's your birthday, George?
Yeah, June 6th.
Okay, keep talking. I'm a Gemini. I'm going to look something up for you.
Oh God. Make sure you go on private browse.
Oh no, no need.
Okay.
Okay, can I take your place in Canada? You can come here. We'll just trade.
Are you in Florida?
But you would need, no, you'd need to come to San Francisco, which is like kind of the opposite of Florida in some ways.
I feel like San Francisco and Florida and Canada are like, the good things are very similar, but I think the bad things in Canada would actually surprise you. Like, again, something I've never talked about. You know what one of the biggest triggers? Hold on. Hold on, let me see this.
It's called Florida Man Game. You just type in a date and Florida Man, see what it spits out.
Florida has a... Oh, Florida man charged with pouring ketchup on girlfriend. Yeah. I have so many questions.
Naked Florida man accused of bizarre crime spree that included trying to kiss an elderly woman.
How do they have articles about me before this has happened?
it's just... works with anybody. Just type in
like
a date
ketchup.
And Florida man.
Yeah, Florida men, it's a thing, right?
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
All right. Well, maybe it won't be Florida, but I am moving. No, I'm kidding. You know, Canada. Okay, so then I go into this musical journey, and I end up doing good at it. You know, like yeah. I pick it up, and so now this musical journey kind of brings me to Florida because this is where a lot of the contacts are, etc. But the real catalyst,
okay,
this is an away motivation move, Kyle and Cleo, and this is like kind of a scary thing to admit, but I'm running away from Canada. I'm not really going to Florida. I mean, yeah, I am.
At least you're acknowledging that, yeah. right? That counts for something. You get some points for that.
Exactly.
Yeah, so what are you running away from?
Where I end up, it doesn't really matter. Okay, so I don't, in the last like 5 years, I've left my house like an overnight type of thing. Like I can count on my one hand how many times this happened. I don't leave my family a lot. So yeah. One day I leave my family and we had a break in our house with a guy that was armed. And luckily, my wife
Canada?
Was... Yeah, bro. This is what I'm telling people. They don't understand.
A hockey stick? What are you... What
yeah, it was a sorry, gun made sorry. Out of a hockey stick, Kyle. It shot pucks at you.
I know. Aren't Canadians just so cute?
Sorry, I don't mean to make light of this experience.
No, you yeah. should make light of it. It's fun because something positive happened out of it. But yeah. I wasn't there, so for me, it wasn't really as bad as it gets, right? So I could laugh at it. Sucks yeah. for her.
Wait, was your wife there?
So she was there with my two kids, my two young kids.
Oh, no.
And she was sitting on the couch and she heard the door open. So the breeze, like, first of all, when I lock up the place when I go to sleep, like, it's kind of what I've been doing. You know, I just lock it all, put on the alarm, go to bed. I wasn't there. So I wasn't locked. There was no alarm. They opened the door and on the camera, they visibly looked shocked, which I found kind of funny. They're like, oh, shit. We got in. And they were looking.
Oh, them.
Yeah, Jesus. They were looking for the key to the G-Wagon. We left the G-Wagon out front. We don't park it inside because our kid's bedroom is above the ground floor of where the garage is. So they wake up. So we left it. And they were looking for the key, I more than would presume. And then luckily she was up sitting on the couch and she heard the door open in the wind breeze. So she ran in and slammed the door right as they were trying to push it in to get in. So close call, but... Yeah. Point of that whole discussion is, like, I own legally registered firearms in my house, many of them, many different kinds as well.
Charged,
now.
Closet yeah. American.
Yeah, exactly. And I was thinking to myself, you know, what if I was home and none of those scenarios in my head ended well? And,
no, and, I know.
And people know. Think about Canada as, like, a great place. Just type in Toronto, like, gun violence. Like, Justin Trudeau, I don't want to get political because when we get political, we lose half the people. And you know, but you know what? Fuck those. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. I would never. I think in politics, we're trained to be divided, but really we're united if we really focus. If we did a parts integration, every Republican is, you know, also every liberal's conservative, every conservative has liberal values.
Do you have 10% of people on either extreme and they're the ones that get the headlines? The rest of us exactly. are in the middle somewhere. We like things yeah. on both sides.
Because no one covers normal people. Normal people aren't fun. You know,
the internet. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're boring.
It's
vanilla.
Desensitized 80% of people because we're right. boring. We're leading normal lives. But anywho, so yeah, that's kind of what led me to be like, all right, well, you know, that it wasn't like Florida. I'm like, I'm going to a place with guns now because, you know, it's still a long process for me to own guns there. So I'm not American.
And there are lots of places that allow guns. I mean,
exactly. Yeah. And there are many, but I needed to get away, and then the opportunity came up with the music that kind of pulled me there. So I got up and said, I'm going to go somewhere, and then the opportunity with the music said, okay, go there. So that's really the whole motivation behind it. But I'll tell you this, Canada is not the way it used to be. I know it's painted a certain way, but, you know, there's people being robbed right now, like at gunpoint for their Range Rovers at broad daylight. You know, in our neighborhood, there's been 20 vehicles stolen in the last 10 months. You steal a car in Canada, you're out the next morning. You miss a shift of work and you're back to work. And it's like they did a bust of 200 and some odd people that were involved in car theft. And 140 of that 200 were already out on bail for car theft. You know what I mean? And I just think like Canada's just losing it. I don't know why. Like I know there's nice parts. I love Canada. I love certain parts of it. But it isn't what it used to be, and it's becoming increasingly more targeted towards people who have resources. And like I have many friends whose houses have been broken into in same circumstances. One of them wasn't that lucky, right? Mm-hmm. So I was just like, if I'm going to go somewhere, I need to go somewhere where there's a chance the person's able to defend themselves if that ever happens. And then that's kind of where I started looking, and then, you know, the Florida opportunity came up for me music-wise. And so that's happening. Like, I don't really want to give out that much detail, but it's okay. Because, you know.
I mean, it's good to know where, like, what you're thinking, you know? I mean, this is a whole discussion, too. I have so many thoughts and experiences about the criminal justice system in the U.S. And I'm that's actually in my work, what I do professionally.
Wow.
So it's a whole conversation about, like, what kind of support do people get they're released from prison, or
none?
Are people set up in a good way, you know? And how do we like, releasing somebody on bail right away is totally not appropriate. And what is appropriate?
Exactly.
Right?
Like, yeah.
What's the thing here? It's not, we can't just like incarcerate everybody, but like giving people resources or support. Anyway, it's a whole conversation.
See, your line of work there, Cleo, is like just as hard as trading, if not harder, because you're trying to find solutions, and like people aren't interested in talking about solutions, because I think once something like that happens, we cover the aspect of it that's interesting, the crime, and everyone's gone, and then no one cares about the people that were involved on either side, right?
Totally. It's so sensational. And sensation drives fear, and that drives more harsh legislation, honestly.
Exactly.
That's how that goes.
And everyone cares about retribution and instead of rehabilitation. Yeah. That's the biggest problem.
That's right. And punishment, yes. Right? As if punishment works, because if punishment worked, people would actually change their behavior and like have these transformations, but it doesn't. Yeah. They just end up being scared of being punished.
For sure. And a lot of these people are actually young kids. Like, I talked to a police officer who said, if you caught that kid and you did something and you took off his mask, that could be a kid that's a teenager. It probably is a 13, 14 year old. And then that kind of changed my outlook on it too. But look, all that is like complicated. And if we cut all of that out from
it's a wee bit complicated.
Yeah, if we cut all that out from the podcast, it'll shorten it by 20 minutes.
Can't cut that unless you really want it out, then I'll take it out.
But no, I don't really care.
That's kind of the whole point of this.
Yeah, that's what motivated me to leave. And it's a tough, it actually made me think about what kind of parent am I going to be? Because obviously, like, certain states and places to live lean towards different values. And you know what? That goes on the other side of it as well, Cleo. And I'm sure you would agree that, you know, what if that's your kid doing the break-in? Like, mistakes happen. You know what? Kids sometimes get caught up in stupid moments with stupid friends.
We were all 13. We've all done stupid things before.
Exactly. So what if that's your kid? Now, how would you want him to be treated in that situation? And it's like, it gets incredibly complex. So there's no perfect place to be. I suppose we've been here for a long time. My wife runs a business online, and we were looking for a more tropical climate anyways. Canada gets really cold, and there's many other factors, but obviously I gave you the sensationalized version of it.
Well, Disneyland doesn't hurt things, I think, with the Disney World. I mean,
great. Yeah.
Making the Disneyland. Leg up for when you got the kids. Yeah.
Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back. Fresh off a rebrand and ready to help is Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Well, should we get back to, let's see, where were we? Okay. So you're not going to be day trading anymore. It's too stressful.
Yeah.
So what is the plan then going back? Like what sort of style are you kind of leaning into now? Is it more swing type trading? Are you looking to do more with like stocks and options? More VC type stuff?
So Cleo, something you said was very interesting. Can we just unpack that really quick?
Yeah.
So you said that it's too stressful. I thought about it. And I guess, like, yeah, it is stressful. I could handle that aspect. I'm kind of afraid that if I start day trading, I'm going to kind of become the person that I was as a day trader again, you know?
And who is that?
And I don't think that person is a version of me that's, like, the best father and the best person there could be. You know, I was very, like, in TradePro, obviously, it's my community. It's my people. Like, I behaved in a way where I'm, like, with my people, you know? Mm-hmm. But outside in real life, I don't have the trade pros. I don't have you guys to talk to. So it's like you have to be cognizant, too, of the kind of person you become as a really successful day trader. You, like, start questioning everything, everyone, right? So it's like the day trading is stressful in one way, and it's time-consuming, and that's probably the part that doesn't allow me to do it at the moment.
Well, also, there's this version of yourself that you don't want to become. Like, that sounds like the day trader in you isn't necessarily a good dad. Like, I imagine maybe you have a shorter temper, or you're less patient, or what
More
are the ways
the
all of the above?
Yeah.
All of the above.
Okay.
Yeah, so like shorter really? Patience. Like, yeah, okay, look, if every day went according to plan, I'd love to be a day trader again. And you know, okay. Everyone, yeah. Kumbaya. Yeah. But on the days it was tough, it's like, okay, I could talk about this opening now because it's been so long and I'm just in a different position and, you know, no one's really going to get mad at me for having this conversation. But imagine having a day where you're in a trading room and then the person you're listening to has a bad day, and then you have a bad day yourself and you log off and you cope with it. Now imagine being the person in the trading room that has the bad day in front of the person and then also has the responsibility to help the other people learn from it. And then also has the responsibility to, like, you know, to go into DMs and help people. Because I had people generally reaching out to me. And if I didn't care about people, it would have been a much easier job. But I'm a people person. And so.
Right. And they're really struggling.
Yeah.
And you're really struggling.
Exactly. By the time I have a $2,000 losing day and I log off, it feels like I had, you know, $80,000 worth of monetized energy that I had kind of divested for myself. So it. You know, those were challenging days, and those are the days I would use the time to kind of bounce back and recenter for tomorrow morning. And it's like, do I really want to open the room to my trading office and see my kids the first thing after going through that? So, like, having hard days became really hard for me to the point where, yeah. And then it kind of all reminds me of that NASDAQ loss. I don't think I fully cope with that yet. I left it, but I haven't fully, like, gone through the motions of actually trading wise, looking at what happened and what went wrong, you know? So in terms of day trading, like, I can't see myself doing it now because of time, because of like some unresolved issues around it emotionally. You know, I could get past that, but you know, it's definitely the time. And
who do you lean on or talk to when you have those tough days? I mean, there's got to be somebody close to you that you can talk through those and share and be like, hey, I just had a shit day today.
Bro, I kid you not, like, nobody at the time, nobody. I didn't talk to anyone about that. No. I would just... Aww. Yeah, I would log off online. I would just meditate. Like, I guess I would talk to the version of me because I had a really good close friend. I still do have a really good close friend, Anthony Dreger.
Mm-hmm.
He also runs a trading room. And, like, I would go to him sort of, but he kind of gave you – remember, you got to remember, Anthony Dreger, love the guy, but he's like a former pit trader. And he's right. Kind of, you know, like – throw yeah, away yeah. All the emotions he's ever had since.
Yeah.
So like, just be like, you don't like how you're trading? No. Then trade better, you asshole, and hangs up the phone. All right. See, well, so I mean, that support. Yeah.
Do you talk to your wife about any of it? As that's been like one of the biggest like pivots, I think, in my journey is including her on those types of days. So at least she does like if I had a shit day and I come out, like, she knows why I'm not wanting to talk to anybody and why I'm going straight to the room and shutting the door.
Yeah. See, you know how they say you should be humble when you're succeeding? I'm starting to think like that's kind of the wrong advice, because if you're humble on a really good day, then it's just a normal day. But if you have a shit day, then it's a bad day, right? So I was just really careful about bringing only negative emotion to her. Like, I did discuss it with her, but not like, I wouldn't be like, this is the reason I didn't move my stop. You know, it would just be more on the psychology front. And it was helpful because I went to her when I had days of success and days I had like really bad days.
Yes.
She's the one that did the parts integration on me. She's NLP trained as well. Yeah. So having a supportive partner is key. And I told her I do a crazy job. I work 2 hours a day. Some days it feels like 80 hours. Other days it feels like I haven't even worked at all. Right? Depends on how the day goes. I don't know what version of me you're going to get.
But that's a good point you made too, though. That's a good point you made about not bringing just the negative stuff. Like, I'd try to bring, like, if I have a good day, I tell her about it. If I have a bad day, I tell her about it. And I try to talk about the specific. And more it's for me to kind of unpack what I'm doing. But by including her in it, it at least gives her some context on what she's going to be dealing with for the rest of the day.
And that's beautiful, that's, man. I appreciate doing that, honestly, because first of all, like, she gets to see you grow as well, especially on the good days. You know,
and they have some really insightful ideas.
Yeah, non-traders
completely outside of
That's why I think people didn't want to help me, because people who weren't traders or could talk to, I try to convince to become traders, because it's just what I do.
I remember like, that.
Thanks for the help. You should be a trader. You know, this is the mindset. Yeah, but. But yeah, so I did have my wife to help me with those situations with the emotional aspect, and that was very helpful. Other than that, in terms of technical stuff, like, I'd research a lot of stuff, I'd read up. But I also have the issue where I don't ask for help or it's too late. So then that relationship with my wife became, you're only talking to me when things blow up. This is why I tell you, try to keep her the positive stuff too, because I'm not smart. Like, this didn't come up in my mind like that. This is where I went wrong. You know? Anything I tell you, chances are I learned as a result of me doing it wrong.
As and then Clary would say, ask me how I know.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Do you think your wife would ever talk to us? Because we're looking for wives of traders to talk to us.
That's a cool concept. I'm sure she would. Yeah. If you guys were also obviously open to discussing the NLP angle of it, because she's like an NLP coach.
Oh my God. Yes, please. And trainer. That would be amazing.
Yeah. And she's like,
there we go.
She got me into this journey too, to be honest with you, the self-development. Like, I only became a really, really, really good trader and confidently could say that, you know, when I started doing NLP. Before that, I was like an average trader that felt like he was a really good trader.
Maybe we should just get around to do an NLP episode.
I know, totally.
Maybe just
I
end this and I'll call her in. Hold on.
Yeah, we'll just bring her in. Better take your spot.
So you wouldn't be the trader that you are or were without NLP, you think?
For sure, 100%. I just thought it was funny how you guys introduced me, and then 45 minutes into this, you're asking for my wife. But it's okay. No. I still love you guys, you know?
Well, I mean, we're getting to the root of what makes you good.
Yeah. Totally. Your wife kidding. And NLP.
But yeah, that's, I mean, yeah, she's 51% shareholder of all of her success. So she'd be the person to talk. She's a decision maker. But other than that, like, all jokes aside, yeah, like, NLP, like, made me, okay, it didn't help me trading, but it helped me with performance. And it helped me understand the connection between an athlete and then also that resilience, and also giving you tools to develop your mindset. Because up until that point, the mindset only developed as much as I would kind of unconsciously allow it. But then when you're consciously working on the mindset, like, holy crap, that could blow up more than your trading account. Right?
So, everywhere in your life, right? If it's actually shifting a mindset or performance orientation in you.
But it's, it feels so good when you hit one of those like turning points, and you hit them so often when you're like diving into some of this mental stuff. Like, it's like once a week I have an epiphany that's like life-changing almost.
See, that's beautiful. I've had less of those epiphanies since I stopped trading. That's why I was scared to come on the podcast. Like,
well, that's an easy pitch, George. Yeah. I'll give you some credentials. You go trade for me.
Sweet. I'll come back to day trading for you guys.
Hey, I forgot how good these conversations are.
Yeah, but those epiphanies are key. You know, those are key moments. And if you consciously decide to work on your unconscious, like, great things happen. And like you said, Cleo, it's spill over in the rest of your life. Like, I've never had like actual technical trading analysis that led to me being a better person. Maybe a better trader, But the things on your psychology that make you a better trader, that's only one facet of it. It made you a better trader because it made you a better human. And that's why you get to be a better trader, right? But
Can you give us like an example? I interrupted you. I'm sorry about that.
But, yeah, no worries.
I'm not sorry, you know. Can you give us an example?
You should come to Canada. Sorry is a very, very Canadian. She's not Canadian. Saying it right, though. Yeah.
Sorry, not sorry.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry.
Hey, sorry, eh?
Sorry, eh? What you talking about?
Okay. Can you give us an example of a way that you were before NLP? And then in terms of your performance or mindset, you said something about resilience, but what are some of the ways that NLP has directly affected your being?
Yeah, for sure. So one of the biggest things was kind of the realization that there's towards and away motivation. Hmm. So I had a lot of thoughts and goals and aspirations in my head, but it was never really organized. You know, NLP is like the manual for the brain. And once I got the manual, I just organized my brain. And so certain ways that it has helped me, number one was, you know, the actual aspect of gambling. I realized that up to a certain point, my whole trading was just gambling, you know?
Right.
And it kind of made me look at it and say, okay, well, why am I gambling? Because that's a big realization in and of itself, but it's useless if you're not going to do anything about it, right? So it's like, why am I gambling? And this is where NLP took me for a deep ride. And I was like, my life started out a different way than it is now, you know, like actually pretty polar opposite. No money, like parents had no job. It was like I lived in a crappy neighborhood, like boohoo, right? Everyone has a story, and I'm not trying to like impart sadness on it, but it started out really rough. I was like, you know, I don't want to incriminate myself, but I had to make gambles. So Cleo, like we were talking about those kids breaking in, you know, like it for me at this stage of life, I'm like, you're breaking in to target my family. But then at that stage of life, I was one of those kids that wasn't breaking into people's homes, but was really close to the people who may have been doing it in this video game that I'm talking about. So
yeah, I've been there too.
This video game, you know,
yeah,
it's not real life events or anything. So yeah, like we were stupid. Like when we were young, think about this. We had no social media, my generation, like,
no cameras everywhere.
No cameras. No social media. My social media profile was who I was in front of my building with 30 other people trying to prove themselves. You know, it's like,
yeah,
just different times.
Yeah, anyways, and you're hungry too. I mean, you're hungry to prove and to get resources.
Get something.
Exactly. Yeah. And that the resources is the most important word, because like we have resources. We just don't have motivation these days, it seems, right? Where before you had all the motivation but no resources. Like, you were confined physically to the environment that you were kind of brought up in. You had no internet. There were no opportunities. I couldn't open a Fiverr page. I couldn't day trade. Mm-hmm. I walked out of my building, and in front of the building, there was 30 people doing things. I kind of had to be part of that, like, to some extent, right?
Yeah.
So, anywho, that kind of environment imparted on me that what people consider to be gambling was my survival. So it was like, so I'm not like, it's not really gambling in my mind. I'm like, I'm just doing what I know. Like, I'm just being reckless and getting away with it.
You've got to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm doing the things
that's the key.
I need to. And yes, I know that I may not get away with it one day, but it's also paying the bills today. And so I couldn't think too far ahead in life at that time. So, you know, that's where I kind of had gambling instilled in me. It took me so long to figure that out. And then when I got the NLP tools and I did some techniques and just spent time like being, it's all about just being aware of yourself.
Yeah.
Like if anyone spent time being aware and present, how they think, how they act, and just analyzed it rationally. Just
ask the question when you hear that, like when someone says like, you're not a good trader. Is that true? Like, who's that? Who's saying that? Where are you?
Exactly.
What do you mean? What's give me specifics.
Your problems aren't hiding from you. Your problems want to be resolved. Your unconscious mind wants to resolve.
Yeah.
You're hiding from them, you know? So when
for real, yes.
Yeah, when you stop hiding, they're all there and they're all apparent, and it's overwhelming because you're like, wow, I'm a horrible person. but then you're like, okay, let's unpack all this and like structure it. And that's where the trading actually helped me, because I'm like, all right, this is like a trade. There's 100 trades. Which one do I work on first? And the gambling aspect really helped, because – and that day, now it comes full circle in this conversation, because that day when I lost 50,000, that's the part of me that came out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so
– wait, which was part? Roughly the part around, that's the gambling scarcity, which part?
Yeah, the reckless. Like the so reckless part.
I'm
going to
get this back, hold my beer kind of guy.
Yeah, and if you kind of bring back the music side that was unlocked through the integration – that music side also was left off at a time where I was a little more reckless. So it's like, with these parts integrated, I got the benefits of the music, but I also had an exposure of the parts I hadn't worked on as much as well, you know? Like,
right.
That's what I'm saying. You got to be careful with these things. Don't just let anyone do parts integrations for you and think, and, you know, because it does change. Like, a parts integration could very well change your identity, which is like your most important asset.
Also, NLP does have a bad name because of how it's been used specifically in like the pickup community, right? Where I think that's why we're like, people could.
Is that where that's from?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I think it was really used in pickup,
the game
where,
or whatever that book was,
men could somehow manipulate women easier to, it's like, it's a whole different thing if you are doing an NLP session, but you have an agenda for this person, or you think you know what's right for this person.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I think that it really showed up. I mean, that's true in coaching in a lot of places, but I think in NLP that really took off, and it's partly why it has a bad name.
Yeah. They use it for like pickup and also like doing those like stage hypnosises for show. And, you know, obviously back to the sensationalization part, they took the parts that can be extreme and made it extreme. But also, like, in NLP, you are technically protected from somebody doing something onto you that you don't want done. So subconsciously, as long as you're in tune with yourself, your subconscious should deny that stuff. But it can be manipulative for sure, depending on what energy you put into it. It's like, it's an empty slate, but if you put manipulation into it, it could very well be manipulative.
It's just a tool, though. I mean, a shovel's a tool. A shovel can dig a hole, or it could bash someone's head in, depending on how I choose to use it.
Right. This one just bashed some heads, you know, but it also is very useful still.
And you might have to cut this out of the episode, but also it doesn't help for legal reasons. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but it doesn't help that the creators of NLP also were involved in a murder case. So,
I didn't know that.
You know, but yeah, it is a thing. Like, if you reach deep into it, the two founders were part of it and they actually did use it in those ways. It's dark.
I found that out. Yeah.
I don't know what I'm supposed to cut out of that.
All of it. Just go back to the intro. Let's just redo, please.
Well, I also like knowing that your wife is actually really into this, such that she's even renaming it so that, she doesn't want to call it NLP anymore for herself. She wants to call it, what is it?
Neuroenergetic wiring, which is kind of what's happening with NLP, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
So it's new.
New, yeah.
She's calling it something new.
She's really good
at it. And I would love to have her on to just talk about that for sure.
I will talk to her right after this and put in a good word. And I'm sure she'd be excited to do it. She's super passionate about this and like the stories and even the techniques and her community.
She could maybe do a demo potentially.
For sure. Kyle, you want to get integrated, buddy? Do you want to become a producer as your midlife crisis? Or what do you...
I don't know if that's the way my midlife crisis would take
it. Yeah,
I
what
think
would
this
yours
is
be,
my...
Kyle?
I think this is it. I left the steel industry to start a podcast in my late 30s. I mean, that doesn't scream midlife crisis. I don't know what does.
That's beautiful, though. See, like, it's funny because I was at a studio one time and I came up with my own nickname, oldest up-and-coming producer. I said it jokingly, but then also it's like you do want to try something new at this age, Kyle, because all of the things effectively you've learned are now beneficial for you. So it's, you know?
Yeah, I've got all this wealth of experience. Now I want to go try something over again that I wanted to try as a kid but didn't have the tools or the knowledge. Like, maybe I could do it now.
And you are. Here you are, buddy.
So before we wrap up then, you got to give us just a quick update with the music thing. I don't know. Can you tell us anything about that?
Yeah, what has you stepping away from that? It seems that you're stepping away from that.
I think it's something good news though, right?
I don't know if I'm stepping away or stepping in. I think part of my problem is...
You need your wife to do another integration session.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to write a plan is what happens.
Serious. I just got to buy like an organization course or something.
Right.
But yeah, like part of it is like I'm fluid in life, I guess. It's like having something being well-defined scares me because, again, this is no matter what I'm doing, the trader mindset, it goes with me everywhere, right? So,
oh, man, that's the idea of organization and freedom. Like, that's something that I recently had some deep thinking on. And one of my reasons for revolting against structure and organization is because there's a part of me that feels like that organization and structure takes away freedom.
Yeah.
And that's a huge internal value that I have to deal with.
that's super huge, because right? You know, the way you would go about doing that is just, you know, recognizing the benefit of it. Really, organization and structure is what gives you the freedom, right?
Exactly, exactly. Or figuring out ways to make the organization improve the freedom. That's been...
Yeah. And if you're organized and structured in trading, it doesn't mean that when you leave the trading desk, you have to be that person too, right? You could...
That's... Yes.
Use anything to actually enjoy your freedom. The organization and structure from trading could create the financial foundation to explore the freedom. Because really... Without the finance, you don't really have freedom. Well, you do. I don't believe that. But the freedom is limited. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes.
Finances help.
Yeah. Finances, it doesn't buy you the dream, but it's a good down payment, you know? So it does help. You can't ignore that part.
Money doesn't bring happiness, but it goes a long way.
Exactly.
And you're saying that some of the trading attributes have shown up in your life. Like, what are some of those?
Yeah, for sure. So one of the things is like
driving.
What's that?
Risk management and driving.
Yeah, risk management for sure. You know, and being humble and not like, how do I say it? The music industry is full of ego. Like, I think ego is the fuel of the music industry. Ego and clout. Like, it's not a good thing, to be honest with you. But it is what drives the music industry. Like, everybody. It's funny because everybody listens to people who don't have money but have clout about how to make money. You really think about it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It gets kind of funny at times. So like some of that humbleness from trading hasn't helped in music because I haven't fought for myself as much in a place where it is a brand. And you know, it's like I'll be 100% honest when I say this. And I have been anyways. I don't know why I said that, but like I'm always honest up front. But like when I left Trade Pro and I knew it was going to be for an extended time. I knew it'd come back at some point. But when I left, I knew it was going to be a more extended time this time than others. One of the things I was actually really excited about is to do something where I'm not – my personal self isn't a brand for this product, right? Uh-huh. I was like
– Yes.
Yeah, I don't have to put my face out there. I don't have to do a YouTube video. I could just like freaking make a beat and somebody's gonna buy it, right? Like I just produce something and somebody will buy it. Nobody will know it's done by me unless they look at the credits, and then I'm on to the next one. Turns out it's not like that, guys.
Yeah.
No, what's it like?
It's not like that at all. It becomes a branding thing again, right? It's like,
yeah,
okay, what is your value? Like when you go to value again, everything in life is trading, right? Because the first step of trading before you do the execution is valuing an asset. That's all we're doing. And then we're trading based on our own valuation, which is sometimes right, sometimes wrong. So it's like you think it's hard to value the S&P 500. It's even harder to value a collection of drum sounds and instruments that you've assembled and put together and you call it an instrumental. Like, how do you value that?
Yeah, especially right? When you got emotion tied to it.
Exactly. And yeah. you have emotion. Now you have to step out of that and be like the business person and the artist, which I was fine with because in a way I was doing that with Trade Pro. The artist was the person on the mic. Sorry. The business person was the guy on the mic and the artist was a person trading. And oftentimes both the people showed up at the trade room every day. In music, you get the benefit of kind of splitting it up and choosing who you are when. But again, it's still branding. How do you value this asset? It's not like, especially with AI creating all this music, like you creating that AI song for the intro makes me sick to my stomach. Huh?
I was actually planning on asking you that, if that was why you're getting out. Because if you were looking for a sign for when it's time to come back to trading, AI's songwriting abilities is probably...
But I don't hear you saying you're actually getting out. You've been talking about how challenging it is, but it sort of seems like you want to do both.
So here's the truth. Yeah, I'm going to find a more happy median. So what I've been doing is I've been focusing solely on that. And like when I do go to Florida, I am opening up a studio. It is going to employ people. You know, I am going to still shop my production to these artists that come through the studio. It just started to feel like not something is missing, but the first, like, you know, how long have I trained? 2001 till about 2020. So let's call it 19, 20 years has been trading. And then we untapped this person through a parts integration that has been starved for music for, you know, those 20 years.
Right.
And then in the last 3 years, he got a chance to eat. So now I'm kind of seeing it as a real wholeness. I thought the parts integration was done then, but I would argue it's probably done now. You know,
that was like, phase one.
Yeah, exactly. That was just the first step.
Now you got to find balance.
Now I can find balance. And honestly, the way I plan to come back into trading is to do longer term trends. So still trade the S&P because I know that asset, right? Still like longer term trends, focus on the market, keep watching it. Do options at the beginning because they have a fixed loss, even if the market does something crazy. So swing trading options on the S&P 500 while giving more attention to actively manage my actual portfolio too, right? So this is kind of going to be my comeback for the moment, and then we'll see where that goes because I don't, again, I'm still that kid in my heart that like, you know, doesn't have a plan. Like I have ideas, but like there's no plan, you know, like every day we're making the plan. I'm a big believer of that. So that's kind of where I'm at. That's where I've settled. I am going to do music stuff, but I am also, I do have time for Trade Pro, and my kids are at a stage now where like they're kind of getting cool to give me hugs and stuff. So fine.
Enjoy that while you can, while it lasts.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to. I'm so good. And I have the good thing about music is like, it's one of those things that, I mean, I could do a whole podcast on just that process, but just to make it quick, like for me, the music has always been, you can't sit down at 9 a.m. and make music, you know, but when you get inspired, you got to be available to sit down and make music. Like a lot of the stuff I make and have made has come from a different place. Like I'm the channel for it, but it wasn't my idea.
Yeah. It might be three in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. And oftentimes it is, right? Because the world shuts down at 3 a.m. There aren't all these waves and microwaves and frequencies flying through the air. And now you have a stronger connection to your own beliefs and spirituality. So that's usually when it hits.
There in the shower, right?
Yeah, exactly. That in the shower. I don't know what it is about the frequency.
Shower thoughts, man. There's something about doing just routine, mindless activities that allows your mind to be free.
I get that running.
You should start trading in the shower, Kyle.
I've tried. It doesn't work.
I believe you.
Okay, I have a final question, unless you have other questions. But George, have you always been this woo, or is that something you've developed?
George has always had a little woo to him, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I love it. It's also something that's unique about you, I think, as a trader, is you being so open about your woo. You know, asking for a sign and the various psychological modalities. And it's, I think, awesome.
Morning affirmations.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Is that something that you've always had?
Yes. So I've always had that belief. And I guess like when I was younger, I didn't have as much time to tap into it. You know, I've always believed that I can't be the highest power. Like, I wouldn't be trusted with that responsibility.
Yeah. You
know, for me to be the highest power. Like, I am the highest power of myself. But, like, I've always had a feeling of, like, serving or being kind of like a cog in the wheel. I've always had, like, faith and spirituality, but I've never had it defined. And for a long time, being a young kid, like, you know, the people in my neighborhood who had, like, you know, religious beliefs actually tended to do like better. It's weird. I'm not saying it's a connection. And I kind of looked at that as like they have it and I don't. So I have this weird relationship with the actual word religion, but I've always had a belief in like a higher power. So it's like, I've always looked for guidance. I've looked for signs and I've been aware for them, you know, ever since I could remember. I remember my mom brought me from Bulgaria to Canada. I was 7 at the time. Yeah. And like, I had a good life in Bulgaria. I had good friends, you know, I didn't understand why we were doing this. And I got here and I'm like, you brought me here to be like this poor. You know?
but yeah, shit.
I'm like, what was the point?
Change.
Yeah. I'm like, what is the point of this? But then I kind of looked at it and I'm like, you know what? Like there is opportunity. Obviously you got to have faith in your parents. And so, yeah, like in terms of the woo, like I've always had a feeling of it, but ever since the NLP era of my life, it's now a practice too. Like I carve out time for myself to exercise. I think we all have it. I think we all have it in us. It's just how much attention do you give it? And luckily, you know, the thing that made me a better trader with the NLP and helped me unlock my full potential has again made me a better person. Luckily, I didn't just spend time going on strategies, websites, and I listened to my wife for once and I went out to this workshop in California and I got certified to be an NLP practitioner. Now I have a framework to practice, you know, my spirituality. But I have always been in tune with energies. I'm actually, I would say this is a gift. I'm very gifted at reading people's energy. And I have had situations where being in the music business, energies are sometimes not always, you know, the best. So I have relied on that to exit rooms. Totally. I always say, if the vibe is right, you guys could do it without me. I'm gone. Like, I don't need to be here. You know, it's all about the vibe for me. But yeah, I guess I've always been this way.
That's fucking awesome, dude. I could spend another like 30 minutes easily just talking about this, but I think we probably need to wrap this thing up before
we lose everyone.
It was super awesome to meet you, George, finally.
You too.
Excited. Yeah.
And thank you for the support and for the nice things you said, obviously. And great questions. I had an awesome time chatting. And,
George,
you know,
anytime you want to come back, you just say the word. I'll let you come on any of the Friday episodes. Anytime you want to schedule something else.
No, you guys want my wife. You don't want me. I don't care.
We do want your wife also. We do.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
There's only one condition here. It's that. Yeah, you can't try to uncover any dirt that I haven't shared.
Oh, all right. Fair enough. No, I'm
just kidding. No condition. You can always listen to it and veto anything.
No, yeah. I'm not going to be that guy. I trust my wife fully with, you know, we had kids together. She could say whatever. She's actually great. She'd be a great conversation piece on NOP. And yeah, anytime you guys want to have me on, I'm game. And I hope it was a good chat. It's kind of like first time I've talked about it, you know, going back to trading, but here we are. Life is funny.
Does that mean that Mind Over Markets is coming back?
With the podcast, we're gonna do something about it for sure. You know, like when I left it, it was funny because I left it when I was like, okay, I'm doing this music thing. I'm probably never gonna day trade again. This is like 3 years after I'd left. But like that passion for the trading woke up again, you know, and I promise you it's not financially motivated, you know. It's not.
Yeah.
I did spend a lot of money in music in a stupid way. For sure. For sure. I mean
this is a whole other new offshoot. Like, okay, there's a passion for trading that's not financially motivated. I'm really interested in that, but I think we got to wrap this up.
I mean if you listen to the episodes that he put out when he came back, you can hear that passion coming through. That's why it was so exciting.
Like, there's joy there, it sounds like.
I started doing the podcast again just for, like, you know, it was kind of fun. And I mean, you guys, like, I'll say this, I don't care, I'm straight up. Like, TradePro hit a period where it was kind of decision time for me. Mm-hmm. Like, do I stop doing this? And, like, not me, just in general, because to be straight up about it, like, I had to fund its existence again in a long time, right? Mm-hmm. It hit a bit of a down curve financially. And part of that is, like, our business structure. There's a lot of reasons for it, but at the end of the day, I was like, do I want to let this part of me die? I'm like, hell no. I got to put some money into it and see what I could do. And then I came back to TradePro. So it does turn out it is financial, but for a different reason.
Right.
Damn it.
Well, it involves finances, right? You got to put it up. But is something else underlying that?
Yeah.
Right?
And then I went on the podcast. I'm like, wow, I actually missed this. And you know what? The part that kind of made me think, and this would be kind of a good, like, 180 or 360, I guess, to close out the discussions. Like, I actually, when I went on the podcast, the one thing I thought about, because when I do these podcasts, I actually, like, envision the people listening to them. You know what I mean? The reality when I came back was that there weren't that many people listening to it, but you can't expect to come back and all of a sudden be like where you left off. So I knew it was going to build up. But I imagine people listening to it, and like sometimes I'll actually feel people's energy that I perceive to listen to me, to the point that, like, when people say, oh, I feel like you were talking to me in that podcast. Like, yeah, I was. I'm actually, you know, picturing you listening to this while I'm talking, you know. And then I connect with that energy. I'm like, oh, shit, I miss that so much. Like, the people of TradePro in the community and just in general, anyone who's willing to work together at a time of such a division in society, and for trading to bring people together like that, I was like, I miss that. I miss that aspect. I don't have that anywhere else in life. Music is not that for sure. Music is just a couple, like a bunch of people trying to break each other down. You have to go through like 100 relationships to find one that lasts.
You know what's funny? Music has like a reputation of being the opposite of that, of like being, you know, welcoming or whatever, and let's just feel the vibes and do this together. But it's not that. And trading has the opposite. Trading's reputation is like, oh, it's just a bunch of like cutthroat kind of douchey dudes. And actually, it's also, I mean, it can be that, but it's also really not. Yeah. Like,
isn't it funny how
come back because of it?
The reality is the exact opposite of the perception, right?
Yeah. And
it's like, I think with with music, it's such a cultural thing that, like, how do I say this appropriately? It's such a cultural thing that there needs to be influence in it. Like, there's a built-in influence that's maintained at a very high level, right? Which is, like, the creation of music and the collaboration between artists is beautiful, but the machine that drives that industry is where things start to get... I mean, there's different sides to that too, right? Like, we can get into this. This is a whole different thing, but I won't. There's different sides to that as well. Part of that is the expectation of the artist, right? Like, going to a label, expecting them to turn you into a superstar. It's like, they're just a bank. Use them as a bank. So there's strategies there too. But I think that's the interesting part, is I went into music for the fun part of it, and then I realized the business of it, and it's not that I can't play that game. I just miss the people. I miss you guys. I miss the people at Trey Pro. Honestly, like, I haven't ever felt like that. Imagine getting off of work and feeling good about it.
I know.
Imagine that.
A group of people that you can hang out with and you feel replenished and refreshed afterwards. Like, as an introvert, that's not something that typically happens for me, but.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you've been doing this for a while, Kyle.
Honestly, most of my positive social interactions come from interviewing people on this podcast. Like, that's all I really need. Anything more than that is just
too much.
Yeah, too much.
Yeah.
Even,
well,
yeah.
You know what? To be honest with you, like, what's more beautiful than actually uniting together? And yeah, you have your account, I have my account, but at the end of the day, we support each other. Like, what's more beautiful than people coming together and working together on a thing? And it's like, it sounds crazy because it's trading, but it's challenging to come up with another industry where random people on the internet connect over something so simple as, like, valuing financial assets, but become great friends and love each other
and
out of
totally
it.
Totally geek out about
The people who are successful at it realize what sort of person it takes to succeed. And so
for sure,
any of those people that kind of reach out and want help, like, they're trying to help them out because they know there's so few of them that are going to actually make it.
For sure. 100%. Like, trading extends to, it's not really the trading that makes it special. It just connects the right people together, like-minded people. Like, if I go to buy a car, I want to know that guy trades. You know what I mean? Like, I just...
Right. Just have a little extra...
I'm like, where are the traders at? Where's the traders in this room? I need somebody.
That's a good filter.
Yeah.
I need that filter.
Exactly. Yeah, filter out the people that are your people. And no matter what I do, trading and traders are my people and is who I am at the end of the day. So I had to come back from that perspective. And it was only when I was faced with the decision of shutting down Trade Pro completely, you know, that made me, I'm like, okay, like, why am I even doing it? Like, why am I holding on to this? Like, why not just give it to Victorio, sell it to him? He's killing it trading. You know what I mean? So I was like, why am I still part of this? Why do I go on a podcast to talk about something I haven't done in 4 years? Why do I feel compelled to do that? It's like, started asking these questions. I'm like deep down, I still have a love for it. And then again, away motivation, right? I'm like, the moment I considered it not existing or even without me in it, because that's also a possibility, I was just like, you know what? I can't have that happen. And then I went back to, and now I've hit my wholeness. I'm integrated. That's what you call the podcast, you know? But
I'm integrated.
Integration.
<That's perfect.
laughs>
Okay, guys, keep this thing going. We've been trying to sign off for the
last
15
minutes. I know we're trying to close
here.
It, but we can keep going. I have other follow-up questions, but no, let's...
We could do part two anytime. Like, I'm open to it. And maybe I spent a little more time, like, getting back into the weeds of the trading, and we could do more, like, technical one and the comeback or what it's been. But anytime, you guys, I love your show. And
anytime you want, man, just say the word. I think that's going to do it for today. So thank you, George, for taking the time to come down. Thank you for connecting us with your wife, who we've learned is the person that has all the real insights. Remember, if you want to help support George, you can check out TradeProAcademy.com, where they trade every day live. They also do free stuff on Fridays, and there's a ton of great content on YouTube, a ton of great content on the podcast, Mind Over Markets, that hopefully will be coming back here soon.
It's coming.
Yeah, we'll be back soon with another exciting episode, hopefully with George's wife. But until that day, just like, share, subscribe, all the good things, and just have a wonderful week.
I really thought you were gonna say, if you want to hear more from George, contact his wife. thanks for having me on, though, guys. Love you. And this was fun.
Ohio football fans, picture this.
You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only. It does not constitute financial or investment advice and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations. Produced by China Shop Productions.